to just let the Lord know what your needs are. But that's not just the reason why we come here. We come here to lift Him up. And that's what we've been doing. And He inhabits praise, and we praise, and He inhabits. And that presence of God is what draws us closer to Him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Awesome. Amen. You know, I feel like if somebody that's here thought about this about 6 or 7 minutes ago, wanted to receive a gift of the Holy Ghost, God would give it to you right now. All you would have to do. Simon said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was an answer to the people's question, why are all these people speaking in an unknown tongue? And he's saying, the promise is unto you and your children. And in its awesome way, the Bible gives us examples of those that were filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and then they were baptized. And then it also gives us examples of those that had already been baptized, and then they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Therefore, we know, Lord, sometimes we get it and are baptized. Sometimes we get baptized and receive it coming up out of the water. That happens many times. But I believe right now, if we all would just raise our hands and there's somebody here that would like to be filled, God will do that for you. I'm wondering if somebody might have been asking the question, Lord, could I just receive this right here where I'm at? I want to tell you something. God can fill you right now where you are standing if you'll raise your hands and just begin to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost, God. I praise you, Lord. I lift your name up, Jesus. I want to praise you, Father. Oh, he can do it right now. He can do it in this house right now. Jesus, we praise you and honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, mighty God, I praise your name, oh God. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful God, wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, I've been in many services where there was an interruption of somebody that reached out and touched him. Their timing wasn't what our schedule had, but they needed him right then, and he just filled them with the Holy Ghost. It happens. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Great atmosphere here, and just enjoyed so much the Veterans Day video and so forth. It was so awesome. The display outside, check those movie star pictures out when you get out there, those handsome men. And it's good to have you here today if you're a veteran. We had quite a good crowd that's here, and you're to be honored today for that. I want to go quickly into the Word of the Lord. For our guests that are here, thank you so much. You honor us by being here, and we thrive by growing. Amen. We do, and we need people to continue to tell others about it and share the work and share the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 12 through 16. And I solved the mystery that I was dealing with in the lesson a while ago when it said no midweek service next week. It is next week. There's no midweek. In my mind, next week is this coming week, like tomorrow. But this is this week, and it's this week through the end of this week. I've always had a little problem with that, because when you go to school, you got Saturday and Sunday, and then your week starts. So anyway, y'all understood it. I was the one stumbling over the saying, it's already here. Well, we understand it and thank the Lord. And y'all just smiled and said, well, he's having one of those moments. Somebody can help me off the platform later. Back to the hospitality room. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. His will is accomplished through his indwelling spirit. Lord, we ask today that your blessings continue in this service. And Father, have your way today. Lord, today, if there's somebody that just needs a little closer walk, somebody that just needs something from you that's different, someone, Lord, with a unique need, I know, God, you're the one that fills all the voids. Lord, hear their cry today and meet them there. I just feel like there's somebody here specifically that needs you. God, I pray today, don't let us get in the way, but help us, God, to facilitate. Help us, God, to facilitate that need being answered. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Because it's His Spirit that allows us to understand what we can receive. It leads us and it guides us into all truth. Now, I was 14 years old when the Lord began to deal with me. Again, I was raised in this church. Received the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. And at probably second grade, I began to wonder if the Lord was calling me. And I imagine a lot of kids wonder that. Is God calling me to be a missionary, to be a pastor, to be whatever it might be? But I felt that it might be, but there was not time. That wasn't the time that the Lord needed me to be recruited. It just was a thought in my mind. But I was 14 later when I realized that I needed to get serious with the spiritual things of God. I was in a small church. Our church was small. I've shared the testimony of that church, how my pastor would send families to churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and plug them in. I had no idea he did all of that. I just found out a few years ago that that's what he was prone to do. And so our church stayed right about 70 people the whole time I was there. And so it was a church that you can get lost in a large church, but you can also get lost in a small church. You can get lost when you go there and, well, you don't maybe feel like that service is directed to you. And a child, a teenager, anyone can check out. And perhaps I'd kind of checked out and thought, y'all go ahead and I've got my life. And soon as church is over, I can get back to it. You know, I was a teenager. I remember getting ready for church and we were in a revival. And suddenly I felt a heavy weight come over me. And I hadn't felt anything like that ever in my life. I had, you know, been baptized a couple of days or maybe the night after I received the Holy Ghost in 68. And I'd been to youth camp and I'd felt the great presence of God there and preaching right to me. You know how that is. But suddenly, for the first time, I felt a weight come over me. And God put a burden on me while I was getting ready for church that night. And the burden basically was saying, you got to get back to where you're supposed to be. It shocked me because I had never felt God move on me anyway, not particularly. I'd felt how we all feel the presence, and I'd been in church and knew, you know, to sing the songs, to go to the altar. But this was me at my house, minding my own business, and God showed up and just put a burden on me. Said, you got to get right tonight. That wasn't the words, that was the feeling. I didn't need anything but that unction to say, son, this is your night. And it's not the sin really that keeps you from God, but it's, you know, it can. But normally it's your knowledge of the sin that's the problem. You know you've done and you know what you are and you know you need to repent, and that in itself will keep you from God. Knowing what you are and knowing what you're not. And that was me that night. I knew that I wasn't right with God. And you know, we would ask ourselves, and an evangelist will say, if the Lord would come tonight, are you ready? You know, we grew up hearing preaching like that. Well, let me ask you today, if the Lord could come today, are you ready? I don't want to miss an opportunity to ask you that. We really, truly must always keep ourselves in check. And I realized that God that night was dealing with me. And I remember so very clearly as I sat back in the old pews. You know, it wasn't old pews then. I think at the time we might have had our new comfortable ones. But anyway, there I sat. And a man came back there as everyone else went to the front. And I was back there just crying. You know, that's a clear sign, you know, that you need somebody to come back there and help you out. I remember he came back there, that young convert started praying for me. He had onions for dinner because I could smell it. Of the things we remember. And I didn't care because he was praying for me. And I broke down and God just refilled me. You might could say, you know, topped me off with his Holy Spirit once again. And I never changed. I never turned from there because I thought, Lord, I'm getting to the age that it just seems to me that the enemy is starting to play hardball. That was kind of the way it seemed. You know, this ain't playing anymore because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I want to talk today, just for a few moments, about spiritual things. Spiritual things. That's a very broad term, isn't it? What is all spiritual? It's not the natural. It's that other realm. It's the realm that's real, but it's the place where our soul is in contact with God. It's a spiritual thing. We do natural things and experience the spiritual. When I fast and when you fast, we fast for God. We subject ourselves to that and pray for heavy things. Pray for things we need God to move. And during the fast, you may not feel anything but hunger and deprivation. But you're doing it. You're investing in something that's further down. And it will later pay back. So if while you're fasting, you don't feel particularly spiritual, well, join my club. I usually feel hungry and angry. Praise the Lord. At least the first part. In John 8, verse 7 through 9. Now, this is the woman that they brought to Jesus and said, we caught her in the very act of adultery. And so, verse 7, just to save time, when they had continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. They were convicted by what they knew they had done. Because he said, you that are without sin, go ahead and sling a stone up here at her. The rest of you watch, but you that are without sin. And they began from the oldest to the youngest, because everyone had sinned. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. No stones that day. Preaching makes us conscious and of our sin. His preaching that day, it was a very short sermon. That's without sin, cast the first stone. I don't know if you would take that and analyze it with an outline form and see where his beginning and middle and conclusion was. I think pretty much it was just a powerful God-ordained statement that he made all the time, and it had the effects. And he was left there with the one that had the need. And the vicious crowd had to let their weapons go and walk away. For some, it's the first time, you know, you might have encountered spiritual things in your mind and have been aware that there is another life, a spirit life and a flesh life. But really, when you come to God and he fills you with his spirit, that is truly where you understand there is another side to all of this. And you realize that you've been lost and now you're in God's hands. But there's a battlefield that you know that's out there, and that is the battlefield of your mind. And it is that battle that you've got to win on a daily basis, because that mind can go in directions that you can't even understand, and that mind will turn on you and say, hey, you're not right with God. That wasn't the Lord that did that. And I remember my brother coming to me when I got the Holy Ghost. He said, the devil's going to come to you and tell you it wasn't God. I thought, that's mean. That's just mean. I'm 8 years old. That's horrible. What devil would do that? And I remember exactly the way he said it. A voice came to me, to my conscience, and said, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. You don't have anything. Just like that. And I stood up immediately, and I just felt this kind of a feeling of horror in a childlike way. Like, oh, no. And then I remembered what he told me. And I went, wait a minute, devil, you just lied to me. And you are a liar. And I was right back where I needed to be again. Another thing you must understand, this is not something about emotions. You feel emotional. That's great. But see, you can be tired and not feel anything because you're weary in your body. But just because you're weary, don't say, I went to church, I didn't feel a thing, therefore God must be a million miles from me. No, he never predicated what he does on your emotions and your feelings. Amen. When you speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance, then you know he has filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then you know you got it. When you come up out of the water and you know that you were baptized in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, you know the name was applied. Amen. And you've obeyed Scripture right there. From that day forward, you've got to be on your guard. You've got to have that sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. You've got to have that shield of faith. You have to fight the battle and let the enemy know, I'm not a pushover. You're not going to take me that easy. I'm not going to make it easy on you, but I'm going to put the word in my mind, and I'm going to do things that are godly, and I'm not going to let you take me down just because you think I don't know your ploys. Preaching makes us conscious of our sin, and our conscience then will convict us, and I need convictions, and you do too. Preaching causes us to feel convictions. Amen. I remember a holiday youth convention many years ago in South Texas, and the preacher said, oh, he hit it right on the head. He said, he was at the closing sermon of the closing day, and after that was over, it was pizza time. You know, I know how it is. Let's hurry up and go eat pizza, and maybe, you know, I'll see a pretty girl there or something. This was a youth congress or, you know, holiday youth convention. I wasn't married, okay? Just so you understand. And let me tell you, I had a certain way with the ladies. I just looked, and then I just kind of... That was me. Oh, I'd crack jokes and all that, and they thought I was funny. So, don't worry. I left with the Holy Ghost. You know, I had that awkwardness there. But the preacher said, hit me right in the bullseye. He said, listen, here's what you're wanting to do. We can dismiss with prayer, and you can go out and smile away the conviction with a few handshakes in the lobby, and it's all over with. And I was thinking the exact thing, like, I feel so convicted, but in just a moment, we'll be out of here, and it'll be good again. Because I'd already learned how to play that game. Because when you're younger, there's more conviction. Why? Because there's more of a threat.
That's right.
You're more of a threat because you're going both ways. Come on, you got that mindset. All right, I'll go there. You got those hormones raging. They don't work for you. They work against you when it comes to the kingdom of God. You got to take everything you can get of the Holy Ghost and say, God, keep your hand on me and lead me and guide me, and don't let me get caught up in something that my flesh thinks is okay. And that preacher went and said that, and I thought, who told him what I was thinking? And he was just preaching an anointed sermon. That's all he was doing. So for some people, it might be the first time they ever encountered spiritual things in their mind, but that's when the battle begins. You either react with repentance or ignore your conscience and begin a process of searing your conscience one day at a time until, oh, it's okay now, I'm good. And young people, I know you know this, but let me just remind you. There's another way that you can sear your conscience, and that is get with somebody who's already done it, and they've already told you it is not that bad, and they can help you get over it and say, come on, everybody's done it. Everybody's been down that road, so don't worry about it, really. And if you think there's a few here that have done something, and then you think, well, I have too. We're all over there in that same little, you know, quandary, so we're good. Don't share your mistakes with people. Just share your prayer request, and you don't have to be specific. But don't give the devil any glory. Right. Amen. Let's get back on the ship and go. Okay, that's done. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. We can have our conscience seared with a hot iron. I hate to use the word seared on a Sunday when you haven't had lunch. I don't know about you, when I hear the word seared, I just think of a steak. But let's get back to the conscience. Think about that steak. It's seared. It's hard. It's like it's the way you like it. But that's not good for conscience. That means nothing can go in or out. You've already just, it's blocked out. You can't touch me now. You can't make me feel bad about anything else anymore. It's now been seared. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy 4:12, the Spirit says in the latter times some will depart. And we understand we're living in the last days. And it is the day when some will depart. Just because somebody walks away, don't start a train or a parade. Say, pray for them and say, God, touch them and help them. But you don't got to go act like the ones that's had their conscience seared. No. We need to stay right where we are in the kingdom of God, then the arena of spiritual things. John 3:1-8. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the signs that thou doest except God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That new birth, you start to see things better. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said unto you, you've got to be born again. In other words, this is not something that's way out there. It's coming. It's going to happen. You know, Nicodemus helped bury his body. Him and Joseph of Arimathea, they took care of Jesus. He had an impact on this man. The Bible doesn't give us any more information. The Bible's all about plans of salvation and how to live for God. But I kind of think Nicodemus made his way there, and I think he was a follower. Why? This is Jesus talking. And who could resist the words and the power of his words? He said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You're not going to see it approaching. You're not going to see it blow away. You can't capture it in a sail because it's intended for one thing only, and that is for the mind of man and woman. That is just for the human race. It's for us to receive. Amen. Your animals don't pick up their ears and say, well, I think I heard a song that sensed the Spirit of God. Your animals aren't, they're not spiritual. I'm sorry to tell you. It's for people. Amen. And we have souls that God touches, and he transforms lives through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled, then we're able to understand this book that he wrote for us, and it comes alive in our minds, and we see what God has before us. It is an awesome life living for God in the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. Most of our time is spent in the natural realm. It is. I've never walked on water yet. I said yet. People have tried. You've probably seen those weird news stories about somebody got a big crowd and said, I'm going to walk on water. If I'm not a man of God, then I'll sink. And, you know, he drowned. And it happened. But we need to know that we're in a realm here of the flesh. But we don't need to spiritualize things that are totally flesh driven. When we are, this is a Bible study / sermon, right, this part. When we have a diet of just natural things, we're not going to be spiritual minded. Okay, we've got to balance our life out. But what happens when we get less perceptive spiritually? What happens is we begin to grasp at anything that we can to signify that we are still spiritual. That's just a human nature. And we need to be careful. That, you know, because we need to realize that our earthly minds love to be recognized as special. You know, in class, a teacher say, does anybody know what the answer is? And you don't want to be the one that raises your hand and be wrong. you want to have the answer. Or you want to be the one that she goes, I'm glad that he got it or she got it. What happened to the rest of it? And you're just like, for the rest of the day, you're walking on a cloud. Yeah, we're taught to be proud of knowing it and having the right answer. That's just how we are. But that gets us into trouble. Nicodemus, he was a ruler of people, so he had authority, but he was missing what he needed to be saved. He said, are you being a ruler of the Jews? You don't understand this. You're in the high court. You're a religious doctor. And you don't really know. But see, he knew there was answers that he could find in Jesus. He had authority, but was missing that part that would save him. He wasn't spiritual. He wasn't aware that his mind was going to need a spiritual renewal by the very spirit of the one he's talking to. The one speaking to him was going to have a way provided that man's life could be transformed. Thank God for the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. Don't let it stop transforming you. Don't put it on a shelf. Don't put it in the garage. But keep the Holy Spirit of God alive in your life. Keep growing in the Lord. Amen. No matter what age you are, keep growing in God. Get a hold of the Word of God. Ask Him to open it up and give you deeper understandings. Don't ever let it get stale. But keep living for God in the power of the Holy Ghost. He will keep using you in the arena of spiritual things. Sometimes they can't be discerned by the mind that's entertained by sin. We dull our senses, and no matter how much you've trained your mind to feel okay about evil, it will not ever discern things correctly unless you wash off the debris of the world and come to God with a repentant mind. You must be born again. I'm talking about spiritual things. There's natural world and there's a spiritual world. Spiritual things. Things that are unseen. Our spirit minds are crying out for a relationship with God. Well, Pastor, I have the Holy Ghost. It's still crying out for a relationship with God. Amen. That's why we feel good when we come here. Because we're in His place. We're intentional about lifting Him up. We're intentional about praising God. I just love coming here. Praise singing starts up. Praise singers, fantastic job again today. Musicians, awesome job they did. It ushers us into His presence. And it really is a great time to stand here and worship God. Let go of your burdens and get your mind ready for what? Cracker Barrel? No. Longhorn? No, not that either. We get ourselves ready for the Word of God. That's the meat. That's what we live by, is the Word of God. Preaching keeps us saved because it's what saved us and it's what will keep us saved. It is preaching. It is preaching. We never, ever need to put preaching on the back shelf. It always must be front and center. By preaching, we are maintained. The relationship is maintained. And our vision is sharp because we continue to hear preaching and submit to the Word of God. See, I could preach sermons all the time to you that just made you leave feeling good. And we need to feel good when we leave. But sometimes we need to be real about it and preach against things that don't do good for us. Amen. We need to realize that things that are earthly are not going to save us. As a matter of fact, they're going to harm us. And we need to say, God, show me how I can get back to You and do the things that You need me to do and put away the things that are evil and carnal and that are causing me to slip up. Dear Lord, help us today. The church I was raised in, and many of you that were from the era of the, you know, maybe your 50s, I was born in 60 and my wife 61 and so forth. And it was very common in revivals for the evangelist to preach against television. And we didn't have one in our home, didn't have one. I'd go to school and they'd talk about movies and I'd just be listening to the movies like, man, what a life them guys have. That'd be awesome to watch that. And one day I got, you know, you don't always be the guy that's like, nope, didn't see it. So this guy's talking about this movie and he goes, do you see that? And I was like, yeah, I saw it. You see that part? And yeah. And all I was doing was, yeah, but I wasn't adding any details because I didn't know any. And then he said, what about that part where she skated out of that building and going down the highway? And yeah, that was so cool. He goes, you liar. You didn't see it. Oh, I felt convicted and embarrassed. What do you say to that? I mean, why lie about seeing something you didn't see? Just, that was dumb. Learned my lesson. Didn't talk to him about movies anymore. Went to somebody else. And so it was very common. It was very common. And for them to preach against, you know, drinking, smoking, bars, dancing, and television. And the movies, definitely, but the television. And that just, you know, the key word you would hear, and I am not making fun, y'all, understand that. This is my childhood. This is my upbringing. And so when they would say television, what was synonymous with television was gun smoke. So they'd say, you know, sitting at home and watching gun smoke's not going to get you to heaven. And so that was, you'd hear that a lot. And I'm thinking, I've got to see Gunsmoke because, man, wonder what in the world. It must be fabulous. It must be wonderful. And, you know, we were, you know, then again, we were UPC, you know, that's United Pentecostal Church, but we called ourselves underprivileged children. UPC, we're the underprivileged, and it was a joke around our circles when we were growing up, like we're underprivileged, so we go to the pizza place that's got a TV here and here, and on Sunday night, you know, there we were, and then we'd walk out and, you know, Lord, forgive us for all that we saw, and we get back right with God because we're about to get in the car, and it might have been driven by an idiot, or maybe it wasn't me, or some, you know, and so we would repent, so we'd get right with God. And I understand that in that climate, I understand simpler times. But now, I don't even know if you can get gun smoke unless you special order it or something. But you realize that even your children have a device. And so to sit here and say, you need to get a TV out of your home. You're like, do we even have a TV? Where'd we put it? Do we have one? You know, because things have changed. And so we're not going to make people righteous by going down the list of don't use a laptop, don't use a phone. I actually heard a man preaching, not in our organization, I heard a man preaching a while back, and he preached on phones with screens. He preached against them. Do not have a phone with a screen. I thought, I don't know, but there's going to be a time you won't have a phone because they all got screens, and the ones that don't, I don't know if they're even going to be able to, you know, to charge them or something. You got to go back in time probably, but here is where we're at today. We have to be the keepers. We have to be the keepers of our own hearts. I mean, when you're 8 and 9 and 10 and you can pick up one of these phones and in just a few clicks you could see something that like would shock you. We've got to be keepers. And so here is how I feel that we could truly help ourselves. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a God up above looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. That's a child song, but it rings true today. What I want to do is live to where I can still be convicted when something's not right. Screens are here to stay, to get up and say, let's get rid of all the apps. It just, you can't legislate like that. But what we can do is say, love God with all your heart. Understand what evil is and don't let it in your home. Don't let it in your heart. More than ever, it's about individuals. Used to, families would sit around and you know, watch them old big TVs, and that was the deal. And as a kid, you know, I'd try to go home with the families in the church that had one and so I could see it because we didn't. And underprivileged so much.
But in this day we live, we've got to guard our hearts and minds. See, he said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again of water and spirit. You've got to be born again of water and spirit. See, the second birth is the one where God's Spirit inhabits your mind. And he helps you. He empowers you. He guards you. But it must share space, cohabitate with your earthly mind. See, the Holy Ghost fills up your soul. Your soul is your personality. That's where your desires and such is. Your spirit gives you life, but your soul gives you your character and your personality. Everybody's soul is different. But when God's Spirit comes in and dwells there, he comes in with a fresh outlook, a brand new understanding, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. You don't know all truth when he comes, but he will lead and guide you into all truth. But it depends on which spirit we feed. Well, we will determine how I'm being influenced. See, I can't fill my heart with garbage at my house and then come here and be spiritually minded. I got to say, little eyes, be careful. Be careful. And sometimes the most dangerous thing we can do is tell somebody else what we do. We must inspect our hearts and say, God, help me draw a line of safety in the sand. Help me build a fence. Help me build a wall of safety, God. Because I'm talking about spiritual things. We are born again of water in Jesus' name. And of his spirit when he fills us. Born again, a brand new baby in Christ Jesus. But we have to share space with that earthly mind. And it takes time and prayer and the word of God to grow to where we can rightly divide the word and follow after spiritual things. It's a sad thing, and it happens in every church, that someone will come and receive the Holy Ghost, even be baptized, and then you never see them again. What happened? Jesus talks about the seed that fell on good ground. Some fell among thorns, cares of life. Some fell among rocks, thin. They didn't have any depth of earth. But some fell by the wayside, and the enemy came and snatched it up before it even had time to root, to take root. And I've seen people come, and you never see them. They got the Holy Ghost. They were baptized. You think they're just going to be on fire, and they're never here because the enemy came. It didn't have depth. We must say, God, cultivate my heart. I do it with prayer. I do it with the Word of God. I do it with interacting with these good people and having fellowship one with another, because somebody here has been what you're going through and somebody else here is going through what you're about to go through. So it doesn't matter. Somewhere you're going to find someone that's going to say, I've been through that. I've done that already. I had that kind of relationship. That happened in my marriage. That happened in my childhood. It happened. I went through that too. We had a good crowd of teachers and staff that were here last Saturday evening. Brother Jeremy Joyce was talking to us about altar work and talked for about an hour and 10 minutes or more. It's great stuff. But he said something that really, I think, all of us it stunned us. He said, you know, when you're praying for somebody, especially a child, he said, you know, just touch them on the shoulder. Don't palm their head. And he said, you know, just that's right there, a good place. Or their arm, he said, because he goes, you know, when I was a kid, I hated anybody touch me on the back of my neck. Y'all remember him saying that? He said, because after my dad died when I was 7, my mother remarried a guy that hated me because I looked like my dad. And he said, he would take me by the back of the neck and pick me up, and that's how he would throw me. And he's saying this with a happy face. He said, you know, so when somebody touches me on my neck, I don't like that. He said, you got to be aware everybody's been somewhere. I just thought, Lord, how does that happen? But it does. We don't know where people come from. We don't know. Oh, but we know where they can go when we have an atmosphere, when we've cultivated an atmosphere where the presence of God can move and he can have his way. This is the place right here where deals are made. It really is. You surrender that part of your will that has never been surrendered. You say, God, I'm surrendering my heart to you. Lord, I now belong to you. It's yours. And you say, forgive me of my past. I'm sorry, but forgive me of that. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. You surrender it to the Lord. And you simply ask God to forgive your sins, wash them away, and then you worship Him. Isn't it simple? That's all it takes. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry that I've sinned, and I want you to wash my sins away. But see, we can't understand that concept, that He can take every evil and wrong we've done and just cleanse it. Forgive us. You don't owe me a thing. You owe me nothing. And then all we got to do is just lift our hands and just praise Him. Father, I praise you. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for your Spirit you're going to give me. I thank you. It's a free gift, see? We don't beg God for something that's free. We just say, thank you for it, God. I so remember as I was down at that altar praying, and my Sunday school teacher was in my ear. She said, just say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus.